You're listening to 89.1 WEMU, and this is On the Ground IPSY, our partnership with Concentrate Media, looking for interesting and positive stories to tell about our community. This is Lisa Berry, and we're joined by Concentrate Media Project Manager Sarah Rigg. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
She's here to share with us what she's writing about this week, and who have you brought with you, and what's the story?
I have brought with me Omer Jean Winburn and Cheryl Garnett. They are the founders of the Washtenaw County African American Genealogical Society. And they're here to talk about some of the special challenges that African Americans face in tracing their family roots.
Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you founded this together?
Yes.
How does it work?
Well, we have been meeting for the last 6 years now here in Washtenaw County. Jean actually got me started in genealogy. She is a member of Fred Hart Williams Genealogy Society in Detroit. And she's also a member of the Washtenaw County Genealogy Society. And so she's been kind of dragging me along to genealogy societies with her. And because Washtenaw County Genealogy Society primarily deals with Caucasian and people with other ethnic backgrounds and really doesn't touch on African-American genealogy, we decided to start our own African-American Genealogy Society here in Washtenaw County.
So where do you even begin looking?
So Cheryl is the one who's the real genealogist, because I grew up with her. We've been friends for over 40 years, and she's a real genealogist, telling me her family stories, her being Canadian, her family escaped on the Underground Railroad, and her Canadian stories. I was so enthralled with it. And so 20 years ago, I was going every Saturday, the first Saturday in the month, down to Detroit to Fred Hart Williams Genealogy Society. And I went, oh my gosh, Cheryl and everybody else would benefit from this. So I dragged a couple of other people along with me. But then I thought, there's some older people here in Ypsilanti that would benefit from doing genealogy, because African-American genealogy has its challenges, especially for those of us who had family members that were enslaved. And so it's a different kind of way of looking at genealogy. And after doing genealogy for over 20 years and having Cheryl be my friend over 40 years, we found out that we're related.
Well, no way. How did you find out?
Actually, we were in Canada with Jean looking up her ancestors on the family trees they have up in Buxton. And it's actually a family tree that I have family on.
So what are you, cousins, sisters?
Yeah. Well, cousins.
We're cousins.
Cousins,
yeah.
Okay.
It's like genealogy cousins. That's
how,
what we find.
How did that make you feel?
We were just thrilled. We were thrilled. We'd had no idea. I was so in love with her story. She has such wonderful history story about her family and how they came up. And I was in love with the stories that she told and going up there every year. And then I just felt, oh, my goodness, I'm part of this.
Aww.
That was really special to me.
So when one is looking up one's genealogy, do you go by stories that people remember? Is there documentation? How do you even begin that process?
Well, our process starts just like anybody else who was doing genealogy. We start with census records, and then our history goes until 1870. That's the first history where African Americans were listed by name. And then at 1870, it becomes a puzzle, and then you have to figure out from there family connections. You have to study the white people that were around. You have to study the person whom you think that your family member was enslaved with.
How does that work out? I think I read Sarah Riggs' article, and it said something about names and who gets a name and how the names are determined, and some family members might have different last names. How does that work?
Yes. Sometimes we've found that there are two family members, same mother, same father, but different last names. And that happens when they were enslaved. They may have been sold or given to a daughter as a wedding present, and her name could be Smith. And then when she marries a Jones, so all of a sudden that person's name becomes Jones, or that person that's enslaved's name becomes Jones.
Do you find it's an emotional process looking up your genealogy and your history and finding out what your families went through?
Very emotional, very emotional. And a lot of times we've cried, or I've helped people and they start shouting. People,
yep.
If you understand and know, you'll know exactly what it is. I found my father, I found my mother, I found my grandfather. You know, I never knew this was going on. And a lot of the stories are attached with hurtful things that happen. And dealing with that, too, is very emotional.
Right. And from my family, our family is from stories, because we have stories that have been carried down through the years, and stories that, as I find cousins, we all know the same family story. So it's stories that have been shared with cousins from a grandparent to their children, and then it gets spread through cousins. And so as I've met cousins, those cousins have known the same story that goes back to one ancestor. And that's how we kind of do our family research, is that, hey, that cousin knows the same story that I know. And so we know the same ancestor then. We know, hey, we have the same ancestors because we know the same story.
Can you share any of those stories with us now?
One of my family stories mm-hmm. is a story of my fourth great grandmother, who was a baby on the Underground Railroad. She came as a baby. And what's unusual about her coming is that babies didn't travel on the Underground Railroad because they traveled at night, and because babies would cry and their voices would carry. So very few babies were brought on the Underground Railroad. And it was told that as the slave catchers were looking for them, her parents were hiding under the floorboards of the safe house. And as the slave catchers were stomping above ground, the baby woke up. And everybody that was hiding, they were afraid that the baby was going to cry and give them away. And her mother put her breast in her mouth and fed the baby, and the baby didn't cry. And as long as they were in the house questioning the people and, you know, making noise, that the baby was silent and they didn't get caught. And that's sort of the story that I met a cousin through ancestry. And, you know, she asked me, where did I live? And I asked her, where did she live? I thought, oh, I'd found this cousin who was some distant cousin away. Well, actually, I lived in Ann Arbor. She lived in Ypsilanti. But when I met her, she knew the same story that I knew. And that was her. That's her third great grandmother's, my same third great grandmother. I've met cousins, fourth cousins, who also know the same story. So it's my grandmother told me that story when I was 10. Her grandmother told it to her. And so it's a story that has been passed down so that we all know it. I've told it to my grandchildren. They know it. So it's a story that if you're doing genealogy, then we all will know that story and carry that story through our family.
That's amazing. How important do you think that is as we move into 2020 and how life is now? Most people tell their stories on Facebook or Instagram, mm-hmm. and you guys are really going back in time.
Right, because she was a baby in 1860. She was born in 1860.
I can remember first going, Cheryl taking me up to her famous house in Buxton, and she says that my grandmother used to catch rainwater in this. And I walked around the house, and she says, and over there is where some of the slaves are buried. And over there is where the wagon is, where the slaves used to ride in. They used to hide underneath. The wagon was there. And I got around to the front, and I put my hand over my mouth. She said, what's wrong? I said, Cheryl, this house has a statue of a British soldier. And she said, yes, it's a famous house, and it had a marker on it. And they had a British soldier and a statue in the front of it. So it's in Buxton, and I was just thrilled. And now to know that I'm a part of that story, because my family, not there, but they grew up in where Josiah Henson was in Dresden, and that's when our stories, and there's a wonderful story behind him also, too. And so that's where our stories cross, and we found out we were related.
So as you continue to research your genealogy, are you ever done?
Not really. No. You know, there's always more stories to tell. There's always family members. In fact, when we gathered for the last 6 years, all of us have come in and told our story, and we went, wait a minute, that's my story also. And so we found out that some of the people that are meeting with us we're also related to them.
So if you want to read more or find out more about this story, Sarah Rigg, when and where can we do that?
ConcentrateMedia.com, and then we're on all social media as Concentrate Media everywhere except on Twitter because of the character limit. It's Concentrate A2 there.
And if people want to join you, they can anytime?
Every third Saturday, we meet at the main library on Michigan Avenue.
Thank you both for sharing your stories with us. Thank you, Sarah. This is On the Ground Ipsy. You're listening to on 89.1 WEMU-FM and HD1 Ypsilanti.